cool coming up or anything, shout outs before we wrap up?
I mean, golf season is coming up. I'm super excited about that. But I think what you were saying was just, you know, we kind of wrap up this idea of being middle-aged adults. One cool thing I've noticed is that I'm starting to realize that a lot of our relationships and a lot of our time spent together, I don't take it for granted anymore. And so this time with you has been a blessing for me too, and I'm just really grateful.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org. Radio without boundaries.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chuzhunk, it's your birthday, and we want to celebrate it. And, happy birthday.
Aw, thanks, Dega. I want to shout out JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul for sponsoring this portion of the show. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
We are awake, and happy birthday. And how does it feel being, what are you, 18, 19 years old now?
No, but it kind of still feels that way, doesn't it?
No.
I am the big 27 today, 20 e trace.
Wow, 27. That's great. Mm-hmm. That's a milestone.
It good definitely is.
Good for you. And, you know, anything special? I know you had a rock'em sock'em birthday party this last weekend. We got big snow coming, so, and we have some people from MnDOT to help us out today, but
yeah,
any big plans?
You know, luckily I was able to enjoy the sunshine and the 40 degree temperatures on Sunday. We did a little friend get together, so shout out to my friends for showing up for me as they always do. And yeah, we had some good food, we had some sweets, we did a little bonfire at the St. Croix River. So yeah, that was great. I booked a little birthday trip to see my other friend who just moved to Washington State, actually. So I feel like maybe I did that and then brought the rain here today. I don't know.
Oh, when you're leaving, do I have to hire someone to pick up the slack here? What?
No, I made sure to do a weekend trip.
Oh, so bless you. Bless
we'll be
you.
Gone. I'm excited, though. I've never been to Washington State, so I'm going to check out a couple of the national parks up there in the Seattle area.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been to Washington State. And you know, Wendy lived there and she likes to bring that up every once in a while. And
cool.
Hopefully she's not listening to the show, but she only lived there for like a year and a half. But it must have been a big deal because she brings it up all the time.
Hey, I mean, if I lived over there, I would bring it up all the time, too, even if it was for a month. I've been to Seattle once and it was just in the airport. So kind of excited to go explore a little bit more.
I know the feeling. I've been to L.A. in just the airport during COVID.
Wow, really? Oh, during COVID, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, we'll have to go back to California together. I was thinking about Ruth Ann Thorne, who we had on last Wednesday.
Oh,
and she
yeah.
was talking to Arvina and I about how many federally recognized tribes are in one county alone out there in California. And it was like 18.
Yeah. Well, that was crazy. And again, that show was excellent that you hosted with Arvina. And I was listening to it and I got FOMO. So I almost jumped on and joined in the conversation. But you guys did a great job. And again, a big peeny geeky. Hey, just a quick thing before we get to our guest here. 50 protests in 50 states. Tonight is the orange one's going to be speaking to the Senate, and hopefully either they walk out or they boo him. They got to do something. This last action at the Capitol was today, March 4th, and I'm waiting for updates on that. I know the news had video up there, which was excellent, and it looked like a good crowd, but I have a friend of mine who, she was there, and I'm going to try and get a report from her.
Oh, awesome. I did not know that was going on, too. I want to shout out, too, while we were talking about Ruth Ann Thorne, I remembered that This Is Indian Country started airing on FNX, First Nations Experience. If you look that up, you can watch This Is Indian Country. And Ruth Ann did the producing and hosting of the 12-part docuseries.
So yeah, she had a heck of a crew, and I think I might be in there in the interview, but I know, like, Misko is in there dancing.
Yeah.
That's when we first opened up the store in downtown Minneapolis, when Misko and I think Jelaine was the manager, but for sure Misko was managing that first year. And
yeah, so kind of like Minneapolis-based, I think, for the first two episodes.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, let's get our friend Ruth Ann Buffalo on, and and it's funny, she is, you know, the CEO and president of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in the Twin Cities and all over. And Ruth Ann, good to see you.
Hi, yeah, Matsugadads, thank you for having me. Good to see you both.
Yes, we were talking about Ruth Ann Thorne, who's a TV personality, and then we have Ruth Anna Buffalo on, and I was all confused because I was texting her, and I thought I was talking to you, and, you know, it's Ruth, it's rough getting old, I just got to tell you that.
No, no worries. I know, like, when I heard you say Ruth Ann, too, because, like, back home, a lot of family, community members call me Ruth Ann, too, so... No problem. But yeah, it kind of caught me by surprise there too. When I heard Ruth Ann being referenced, I was like, what? I did what?
Well, if nothing else, our show is very confusing, and we've been doing this for 9 years, so I guess we'll keep it that way.
Yeah, stay consistent.
Hey, so how we got a big storm here. I don't know if you're in the Twin Cities right now, but we got like 6 to 8 inches happening this, and I got to move my car and take out the trash so I'm not, you know, scared of, afraid of the snow. But we got something coming up here, and I know you guys at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center really help the homeless, and I know they're going to need to take shelter. It's going to get snowy and cold again.
Yeah, yep, I'm in the Twin Cities area, and the emergency warming center is open overnight tonight and then ending tomorrow at 3 o'clock. But we had our second Tuesday Resource Connect, and it's going very well. We provide breakfast and lunch, and then service providers come on site and help get just make connections with the unsheltered and help get connected to resources. And it's been going pretty good.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I, you know, whenever you bring up some of the resources that you guys have, I'm always, my ears are perked up waiting to hear that cakewalk again that you had a long time ago. I can't wait to try and get into that.
Yeah, for sure. We're looking forward. We got to start. We got to start getting geared up for the American Indian Month in May with the open houses and the parade. We're reigning champs from 2024, and so I've been told that there's a few people that are, you know, eyeballing or, you know, going for our traveling trophy. So we're feeling the pressure. No, it's all in good fun. But yeah, we definitely will look forward to hosting another open house and having a cakewalk. And speaking of cake, the family at MIWRC surprised me with cake today. It's my 1 year anniversary of being a part of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh.
Congratulations.
That's a big congratulations. We were able to, Haley and I were able to go, I don't know if it's the exact same day, but we went down there when you were introduced to the community and for that event. And I don't know if it's the same date, but we were able to make that and really excited because we know all the great work you do. And we're excited that you're here in the Twin Cities helping out our community.
Thank you. Madzagidaz. Yeah, it doesn't seem that long ago. The staff were asking, you know, for a speech and stuff and asking how the first year has gone. And it really doesn't seem that long at all. So, I'm just really proud and happy to be a part of the team.
Well, we're here with Ruth Anna Buffalo, Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, president and CEO, and we're going to take a quick break here and then maybe catch up on what else is going on at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center and see if Ruth is still hitting the basketball court. Ho-wa.
Right on.
Hey, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
A portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. And we are here with our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, for our update and our little gab session. And again, I just got to say a big peeny geegee. Thank you so much for coming on. I know you're super busy, especially now we're in session. And a big part of this show, Wendy and Haley, is our guests. I mean, that's what makes the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just talked to someone too recently in the past couple of days who had mentioned how much they love when Mary comes on the show every Friday. So, yeah, I wanted to bring that up too.
Thank
Good
you.
One. Good one.
Thank you.
Now, let's get to the dirty part here. Now, a lot going on, things happening. I know Wendy and I will be seeing you Monday, and maybe we can talk a little bit about that before I forget.
Yeah. So I've invited Robert to come in and testify for the Education Policy Committee on Monday. That's at 12:30 in the Senate building. We will be hearing two bills that affect our students, our American Indian students across the state. The first one is a modification of the mascot bill. And if you all remember, and I'm sure most of you know that we have outlawed the use of any imagery or language or any association to an indigenous picture or person without the permission of the tribes. And that has caused a lot of consternation for some of the school districts that still are using that. You know, it's unfortunate that they didn't have the foresight to come up with their own mascot and you know, refresh that. And, you know, I'm hearing a lot of threats from school districts that are saying, well, if you don't give us the money to do it, then we're not going to do it. That's not what the bill is going to be. I am going to try to allocate some dollars to the schools because I recognize 100% that there are costs to signage. If they have the mascot image on their wooden
jerseys
or their gymnasium floor, I get that there's a cost and we don't want that to come at the expense of our students. But when I hear this blatant, we're not going to do it, you know, you have to wonder about the maturity of those leaders, right?
Yeah, good way to put that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one is a drumming bill that will allow the parent group to request drumming at high school events where we have a large or, you know, have Native population. And when I talk about the parent group, in Minnesota, if a school has or a school district has more than 20 Native students, they are obliged to create the American Indian Parent Advisory Council for that school. And they have every right to be in on discussions around curriculum and other things that affect Indigenous students, and should be acting as an advisor to the school and the school district. Mm-hmm. And so the bill that we'll be hearing on Monday says that if there is a formal request for the drumming, then the drumming has to be considered at graduation ceremonies, because we did hear it in the last couple of years that school districts that traditionally were doing that, mm-hmm. all of a sudden were saying, no, we're not going to do it. And you have to wonder. You know, yeah. you really have to wonder why that is the case. It's sort of like when we had to create a law that said, yes, our Native students can wear an eagle feather in their graduation cap, because we know that our Native kids graduate at the lowest levels mm-hmm. and unfortunately have the highest incidences of attendance issues and truancy, as well as reaching the grade level score. So anytime we can create an opportunity where to call them out with pride and recognize their achievements, why wouldn't we do that? Is it because not everybody's Native? Not everybody enjoys hearing the drums? I don't know. But, let's put some support behind these students with the largest disparities.
Absolutely, Mary. And you remember, and I know Wendy remembers this, that I was on the St. Paul Parent Committee, Native American Parent Committee, too, and for quite a few years as a teacher advisor, not a parent, but we went non-concurrent in St. Paul. We were demanding things that were very, very easily fixed, that we just got a lot of lip service, and we had to go non-concurrent 1 year, which was unprecedented. Nobody had ever done that in St. Paul, and we got some things done, just basic things like leaving enough room for American Indian Magnet School to have students that are just signing up for class to be able to get in there and not be denied, where other people were filling up the school for whatever reason, whether it was busing or hanging out with their friends, and then it lost all vision of what the American Indian Magnet School was all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and St. Paul was the leader, and another shout out to Mr.
John.
Bobolink. Bobolink, because he was the one that really pushed to allow smudging in mm-hmm. schools. And we have seen it, and it is proven that when our Native kids go through that smudging ceremony or have time to do that and recenter themselves mm-hmm. and remind themselves why they are there and who they represent, It has tremendous positive consequences, as well as allowing kids to wear their tobacco pouches. Yep. I mean, these are all things that we had to legislate,
right.
And it's unfortunate that that's indeed what we had to do, but very slowly. And the thing is with the smudging is that we heard from a number of people that when the Native students were smudging, a lot of the non-Native kids asked if they could participate, mm-hmm. and they found that behavioral issues really decreased. So right. if we find one...
While Mary's picking up her grandchild, I smudged way before it was legal in my classroom, and also gave out peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but... The reset button, what you kind of just mentioned there, is really what I witnessed, people coming down, and that's a way to ask for help and to reset mm-hmm. if they're having issues with another student or a teacher, to come down and smudge and reset. So that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah. So these are the constant issues that we are dealing with at the Capitol. And so thank you both for coming down and participating. That hearing is at 12:30 on Monday in the Education Policy Committee. And you can also watch it online. So anybody can watch any of our hearings online. Please don't do that, Rita. You can go into the she's trying to put a metal thing in my computer.
Easy.
Dangerous.
No metal things,
Rita. But you can watch it. We have a Senate YouTube channel that puts all of our hearings out there. There was just an incredible one this past week where Republicans were talking about defunding Medicare. I mean, come on. You know, not only our Native people, but our elder, so many older people, so many people in our communities need SNAP benefits. They need all kinds of these benefits. And it's so sad in this day and age that they need these things to survive. Mm-hmm. Please, you know, folks out there, pay attention to what's going on at the Capitol. And one way is to watch those hearings or go to the committees that that we hear from and hear about what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, really good. Really good.
It is important. I just want to mention one thing really quickly. In 1992, when I was at St. John's University in Jamaica, Queens, the basketball team there was called the Redmen. Back in 1992, what happened was they realized that it was discrimination. And the student council got together and said, we don't want our basketball team called the Redmen because it's racist. Mm-hmm. And here are the names that we all get to vote on now. And then we did. We all got to vote on what name that we wanted. And we voted on the Red Storm. So back from 1992,
right.
I'm like really happy to know that my alumni, you know, recognized that early on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a movement for a while, and that's why I say I wish that there were schools and entities that were proactive and made that choice in a good way rather than having to be told, and then they get so upset when they're told to do something.
Right.
Well, you know, be respectful. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you bringing this stuff up in the forefront and really, like, the past few years about, you know, working on the smudging, working on the MM. I have my, and it's so funny, Haley and I are twinning today without taking notes. And being a part of the MMIW push here in Minnesota, it's so important. And well, we got another segment with you, so we're gonna talk some more with State Senator Mary Kunish.
Stay with us.
Native Roots Radio.
Oh, oh, oh.
That's right, the Flamingos are back. Thursday, March 27th, the Turf Club will get rocked to the ground.
OMG.
The Twin Cities' own Flamingos have been delivering their chunky, punky, fan-fave new wave since 1977, and unlike some bands, they just keep getting better with age.
Oh, snap.
Thursday, March 27th, at the Turf Club, the Flamingos with special guest John Berg. Tickets available at first-avenue.com.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis. And we're back now on Native Roots Radio with our guest, Heather Miracle Fahey, who is a registered pharmacist with M Health Fairview. And we're here talking about the John Bobolink Powwow coming up this Sunday, I believe, at Johnson Senior High School. And we're excited about it. It's going to have a bunch of vendors to come support Native artists and watch the dancers as well.
Hey, yeah, welcome back. How do I sound, Haley?
Pretty good.
Do I sound taller?
I don't know about that.
I was sitting up a little bit here and hoping that I sound a little better. Hey, again, thanks for the intro here. I had to switch out a couple things here and I'm back. So the grand entry starts at 1 p.m., feast at 6 p.m., and, you know, I like my food. And then, again, it's located at Johnson High School in St. Paul, 1349 Arcade Avenue. And a lot of great sponsors and people supporting this this powwow, Heather. And I'm excited. One of the things, too, that it's been fun over the years to run into you and your people tabling at a lot of powwows. And it always seems like you must be giving away money or something, because you always have a big line of people in front of your booth.
I wish I had money to give away. It kind of depends on the event and the day, but we do blood pressure checks. You know, as you mentioned, I'm a pharmacist, so we have kind of ask the pharmacist questions if people have questions about medications that they're taking or just questions in general. And then we oftentimes will partner with our we have a mobile nursing unit who comes and offers vaccines on site. So it kind of depends on, you know, the season and what vaccines are available or what is needed in community at that time. We try to just have information that's relevant, helpful, health related. We do always try to have good giveaways. A little counterintuitively, we always have candy, but it draws people in, it draws the kids in for sure. But otherwise, we do try to give away stuff that's health related. We've done like a vegetable peeler in the past, like a handheld vegetable peeler and first aid kits, chapstick, Band-Aids, all that kind of stuff. So.
Well, and it's always busy. People too are, and it's kind of a thing. Maybe we talked a little bit about before the show is that, you know, a lot of Native people find it difficult to reach out to the medical field, and it's a thing that's a little frightening too. I remember when my wife was working in the infectious disease and clinic, and she would see somebody that was Native American, and she would say, you know, ask what nation they're from, and then you could see they'd get less defensive, and then she would say, my husband's Ho-Chunk, and it would knock down walls. And I'm sure you run into that too when you're able to talk about your background or who you are, and there'll be more of a trust value in that, you know, you look like people that you're serving, and knock down the trust, or, you know, have the trust of Native people because you understand and are part of the community.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that it makes a difference. You know, I think that the health system in general, like, this was not a system that traditionally was built for us. And it can feel really inaccessible. You know, there's a lot of steps that people have to go to take to just even to schedule an appointment. So even just getting in the door, like the steps that's required to do that, you know, it's not like you can just walk up to the table and ask your question. I think that, like you said, it kind of, it breaks down a barrier, when you can have somebody, in that position that you already have at least some level of comfort, or shared experience with. And I think, you know, that's something that, like, I'm really trying to work on. You know, a couple years ago, even, you know, I have little kids, and bringing my kids to the doctor, like, you go in and you fill out the papers and they ask you the questions about, you know, your ethnicity and where you live and your phone number. And at the time, they didn't even have a box for Native American. Like, they had all these other countries, and there was not even a box for the original people of this land. And I complained about it, and I, you know, we've changed it, because it's like, how is this possible that I can show up to my own doctor's appointment and not have a box where I can check off who I am? So yeah, like just those little things, like we're trying to address those types of things so that people can fill, if they want to, right, fill out who they are and where they're from. And, you know, we have more than just three boxes for, you know, spirituality and religious beliefs and things like that. And it's helpful to know those things going in. And then it's, I think, equally as helpful from a patient perspective to walk in the door and see someone that you know that there's just that shared level of comfort with.
Well, I'm excited that you are in the field, you know, a Native American, and we need more Native Americans in science and to really, you know, take care of our families. And so it's really cool to see that you're there. You know, when you were first in school, were there any other Native pharmacists or going through that track?
Not that I know of. I do remember when I started, we got, you know, information about the demographics of our incoming class. And it said that there were three Native students in my incoming class. So I do remember like getting in there and being like, okay, you know, where are these Native kids at? And that, like, to this day, I don't know if there really were two other ones. Yeah, it was, I was fortunate enough to be connected. You know, one of my mentors was Joni Buffalohead, who she was not in the pharmacy, like the PharmD program, but she was in the social administrative PhD program. And so I was lucky enough to be connected with her during during pharmacy school. And that's been a connection that has helped me throughout my career that I still have today. So I do feel like that connection, even if just with one other Native person, is hugely important. And there's work being done now too, to help support, you know, our Native students in med school and pharmacy school. Cause there's not a ton of us, but, it is nice when we know that each other are there.
Absolutely. And I know, during COVID we had a special show that, we called, Native Format, or that was on Sundays, and it was just on Facebook and YouTube, and we had a big audience. But we had the Native American doctor for Navajo Nation, and she was the only Native. And it was so funny too, because Ruth Anna Buffalo got her for us, and they went to school, they played basketball together. But it, just to have that weight on your shoulder and being the only one is sometimes really daunting. And I know it was for her because of what was going on at the time. And we didn't, there was no vaccine. People were, you know, taking their clothes off at the door. They didn't know how it was spread. It was crazy times, but it's gotta be daunting for you sometimes too, to be the only one.
Yeah. I mean, I think yes. And I will also say that I've gotten a lot of support. I think kind of especially as I've started to figure out how do I want to give back to the community and how can I do that from my position in the health system. And the system itself has given me a lot of support to do that, which honestly, like right now in these political times, is really, it matters. And I'm really grateful that they're not letting up on any type of diversity or equity or inclusion mm-hmm. type of efforts. Because we need to bring a voice to a lot of our issues, and the system has been really supportive of doing that. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're here, you know, with Heather Fahey, registered pharmacist with M Health Fairview, and we're talking about this upcoming Sunday, March 9th, honoring John Bomlink, Powwow Healing in Four Directions. I just want to say a big peeny geeky thank you so much for coming on. And, you know, it's hard to talk about a friend of ours, but it's good that we're celebrating him because he did so many good things, like being able to wear eagle feathers, be able to smudge in St. Paul in the classrooms. And I know personally that he was a great advocate for our students, and he'll be always remembered in a good way. So, Heather, thank you for being a big part of that and letting our audience know about this important event.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, like, he's just really serving as an example for even myself in other systems, right? He was that person in education, and now we can take his example into healthcare.
Right on. Hey, Heather, we'll see you Sunday. Thanks for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you. Nyawe.
Hey, Native Roots Radio will be right back after this short message. Stay with us, Haley. Stay with us. Ho-wah.
This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, really excited to have this artist on, Jennifer White. Jennifer White's owner of Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And you just had an art show up here in the Twin Cities, and I was able to get in there and see Haley met you. So a big peenie-geegee, thank you so much for coming on.
Of course. I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Right on. Hey, talk a little bit about the beginning of your career here. I see that you started in 2010.
Yeah, well, it started out pretty bare bone. Didn't have a whole lot of fat to work with. Painting has always been a passion, and it's kind of strange, but over the years, working with all of these phenomenal artists and organizations, it's not only improved like my work, but it's improved who I am as a human being and my consciousness into the pride I have for being a Native woman is just... it gets stronger every day. I'm honored and privileged to be able to do what I do.
Well, we're really honored to have you on, and your art is very recognizable, and that's a really good thing, because it's like, that is something, you know, I'd like to have on my wall. I know, Haley, you got to meet her. It was amazing for the opening at All My Relations Art Gallery.
Yeah, I think I got a little preview sneak peek for the Native media that was there that showed up, and got to talk with Jennifer for a bit. And I think we really hit it off. I think we had a lot of good laughs together, and we were talking about your art, and I think it was just so beautiful. I like to go to a lot of the exhibits at All My Relations, and yours really stuck out to me, I would just say, because you really portray a lot of Native women portraits in your work. And I've talked to you, too, about how it's been kind of like a self identity thing, too, that you see through in your work. You kind of see some of yourself, too. But I love the bright colors, too. There's a lot of positivity that shows through in your work.
Thanks. Well, painting women, it's Frida Kahlo said it best, are these all self-portraits? I get that question quite a bit. The only reason why that is because I see my face every day, and I know it better than anything in the whole wide world. So if it is me, it is me. But at the same time, the the paintings that I do, I paint every day, and my mood, especially now with what's going on with this Joker in office right now, my work has been lit. It's all about empowerment. It's about the distressed cry of American Indian people and how we are not being heard or being seen. And once again, our culture is being crushed by these people that don't take the time to understand who we are. So it's my obligation and my duty and my work to recreate who we are as people's perception of Indian people. And it gets rough. It gets kind of mean sometimes. But at the same time, I really feel as though now is the time for the cry of the women, the cry of the men, these strong, powerful, influential Native people to speak up and be present and be heard. It's our time. It is our time to be lit. It is our time to be set on fire, man.
Right on. And that shows in your work, and it's going to show more in your work. I really love how you said that. You know, I'm wondering, you know, we were talking about this. My wife paints in acrylics too. That's hard because of the layering you have to do. Is that right?
That's the best part, man. Oil's so slow and it stinks, you know, and it's hard to get off your hands. But the acrylic, you can really beat it up. You can layer it. You can water it down. You can keep it full blast color. You can cut into it, and it dries so quickly. I appreciate acrylic. Watercolor is a little fussy as well. I'm not into it. One thing I would like to try is sculpting with clay and then bronzing it. But that's, you know, when I'm an old lady, I'll try that.
Gotta try them all.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Well, Haley paints in watercolors, so there is a big difference,
bossy.
Right, Haley?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Watercolor, yeah. I'm always like, you can't make mistakes because the water's gonna do its own thing. But I like to work with water too, because water's life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. That one, Mini Choney there.
Haley.
That's great.
So how can people, because again, we're all over the country and on 30 stations in Wisconsin, in the Twin Cities, Michigan, Illinois, we should name them off someday when we start out the show. But how can people see your work via internet, or do you have a Facebook or an Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Well, I have a Facebook that's exclusive. I update that daily. I'm on Instagram, but I'm an old lady. I'm not really into it. It's not my forte. Word of mouth is by far my most powerful advertising agent. I believe bad news spreads quickly, but good news goes to the right ears. So I don't do a whole lot of advertising. Word of mouth is very, very, very important to me. And if you own my work, you've probably met me, and I appreciate that kind of gatekeeping on my part. I don't want to be a whore with my work. I want to know who I'm selling to.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I got to say this too. I've always wanted to start a business, offshoot business called Burning Wagons Logistics or something. But I really like your Post Pilgrim name. Tell us how that came about.
We're still here. You didn't get rid of us. I like it because it's tongue-in-cheek. I'm from South Dakota, so it's kind of like cowboy country. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little bit boss hog in the way that, you know, don't fuss around with me, man. Like, I'm a proud Indian girl, and we're going to be here for a while. And my blood with my children will be here for a while, and I have two painters. My girls are painters, and they're fabulous. They're award-winning as well, but, like, they're going to be here well after I'm done, and I hope I have grandchildren that can do this. There's a little bit of nepotism involved, but, like, man, I earned it. I can do that, and I think we should all strive for that as a people. We need to build our own businesses. We need to make them sustainable, and we need to make them with purpose. And we need to be able to bridge that gap between native and non-native, because in that fluffy area, everybody gets to be seen and everybody gets to be heard. Having a foothold in each of those worlds helps me creatively, and it helps me in my business, but it also allows me to weed out a bunch of suckers that shouldn't be looking at my work, both Indian and non.
Wow, good words. And just truth be told, Haley's my chujunk. She's my niece, so we're keeping.
Oh, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. You get it.
Yeah, that kind of leads into my next question. So you talked about your kids, and hopefully you have some talented artistic grandkids as well. Do you have, like, your older generations or anyone that you looked up to that kind of made you into the artist that you are now?
Oh, absolutely. Well, my grandmother is a big one. She was a quilter, but she was a little teeny tiny, horribly bossy, spooky, a Rick of Rob woman. She was tiny, but man, when she talked, you listened. I am honored to be able to learn from her and my aunts on how to hold your space and walk into a room with confidence and self-assurance that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. And then on the flip, so the male energy that I got growing up was from my gay uncle, and he's a raging homo. I love him with all my heart. I mean, we grew up listening to opera, tea parties, and I got to see my uncle fight for his space in a completely different way as a homosexual man. Mm-hmm. And that kind of bravery, that empowerment, like, that sunk into my skin, man. That kind of confidence was osmosis. It went straight from him right into my heart. And then learning how to kind of navigate my way on how people looked at my family, being Native, being queer, just being different. I got to observe, like, the kind of way I wanted to present myself to the world. And it was a true, honest gift to grow up in a almost exclusively non-Native community, because I got to be behind the lines. I gotta know how these guys think. And it's very powerful to be able to navigate through those worlds together. As I was saying earlier, it shows in my work all the time. But I'm married to a white boy, you know, and I love him with all my heart. He's a big, tall Norwegian drink of water. And I have so much pride in him for being able to give me my room to do what I do and just be there to support what I do as a woman and as an Indian. And he is also teaching the community how to behave as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a powerful thing, and I'm very honored, and I'm very, very, very blessed with the family and people I have around me.
Wow, right on. Haley, did you have another question?
No, I think I was able to meet your husband actually at the gallery exhibit. I think you had your whole family come from out of town, and they were helping pull in pieces. And they were very supportive. I know we have a minute left here, but coming up in the next segment, I would love to talk a little bit more about your gallery and everything going on at Post Pilgrim.
Absolutely.
Wow, this is awesome, Haley. What a great guest. Hey, we're going to be right back. This is Native Roots Radio, and I love Post Pilgrim Gallery. I love that.
Hell yeah.
Right next to Burning Wagon Soda Shop. We'll be right back. We'll be right back after this important messages.
Thursday, March 27th, KFAI and Alliance Francaise Minneapolis-St. Paul bring you a very special evening at the Cedar. Sissoko, Seagal, Perizone, and Pirani present La Zigare. La Zigare is a musical play space, a poetic sanctuary, a nexus of instrumental harmony, a place where these four world-class musicians create a fluidity of music in a unity of spirit that defies convention and definition. Is it jazz? Is it traditional? Is it avant-garde? Is it chamber? Yes to all and more. Tickets for Sissoko, Seagal, Perizone, and Pirani are available through the Cedars website. Visit thecedar.org for more details.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Ooh. Ooh. Hey, Jennifer. Hey, we have Jennifer White, our painter and owner of Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Hey, let's talk a little bit about your gallery and how people driving through Sioux Falls can find it.
All right. Well, I'm super snobby. I'm only open by appointment.
Oh,
well, I'm kind of a bum, but I'm not really a bum. I work every day. It's just some days I want to work, you know, and it requires a lot, you know. I just want to be in the zone when I'm working. But otherwise, reach out to me on Facebook. My phone number is on there, and like, just give me a call. And if there's something that you see, just reach out to me. But I had my first show at this joint. It's called Last Stop CD Shop. And this cat named Brian and his wife Janine on it. And about 15 years ago, they gave me a show there. And like, man, I sold work for the first time, and I was addicted, dude. I was like, this is the best drug I've ever done. And so, I was like, man, I'm gonna see if I can do this. I'm gonna see if I can do this for a living. And so I got into a gallery, and it was pretty fabulous. I noticed that when you put your career as an artist into the hands of other people, they want to take part in your success. They want to keep a part of it for themselves. Like, your success is their, you know, to their credit. Mm-hmm. That didn't sit right with me. And so I went to these cats years later after my first show there, and I asked if they'd be interested in financing a gallery for me. And they did, and it's wild. And this is what I tell everybody I meet. Don't be afraid to ask, because what the only answer you're going to get that would be bad would be no. But you're no worse off than when you started. Sometimes it takes a little bit of bravery to be told the word no, and to be quite frank, I'm not scared of it anymore.
Right.
So, like, we've been working on this for about 8 years now, and we used to bring in guest artists once a month. We'd do Final Friday, but then COVID hit, mm-hmm. and traveling was not as cool as it once was. And my daughter also got diagnosed with cancer at that time. So we had to be super careful about like spreading germs. And South Dakota was very open, you know, it kept a lot of the doors open. A lot of people were still able to make money and live as usual. Granted, we died most per capita in the entire country, but yeah, thanks, Christina. That was super cool. Anyway, so after that kind of shut down, I closed up our main gallery and moved into a studio. And it was kind of a pivot for me in my career to be able to just represent me and my daughters, opposed to bringing in people to represent.
Yeah,
I get a focus on our careers, and they get to know us as a unit. And it's very nice being in business with these women that aren't afraid to ask questions. They want to learn the game, and they also want to be the best painters that they can be. And if that's what their dad and I can instill in them as young women, to be empowered, we're going to keep going forward with that notion.
Are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm ambidextrous.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So
yeah.
I had really bad tennis elbow about a year ago. So I taught myself how to paint with my left hand.
Wow.
Yeah. It's nuts. But like, I've always like shot cool and bold with my left hand. So it's always been an ability, but like, dude, you know, it's cool to be able to do both.
Wait a minute. You bold left-handed?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
That's awesome.
Man, and when I was pregnant, I was a hella good bowler. I don't know.
Oh,
it was weird.
Goodness.
I don't know. I was pregnant a lot. I have six kids, so it's like, yeah, we had some bowling time in.
Well, when you were pregnant, you were bowling for two, so that's probably why you were twice as good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I had some extra energy, some good juju with me on that one, you bet.
Exactly. That's crazy.
But the gallery is doing well, and it's really groovy. I'm going to tell you a story real quick. There's a law firm here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and you know, it's cool, but my audience is, it's interesting, of all shapes, creeds, colors, and demographic. It's awesome. But it was a law firm, and they asked me to do a series for them. And I painted this glorious war pony. And throughout the entire piece, the American flag was represented upside down. It's hardcore Indian. It's hardcore, yeah. Like, pay attention, listen. And it's in a prominent attorney's office here in Sioux Falls. So, like, I really enjoy being Native. And when other people see that, other Natives see it, they'll know. You know,
yeah,
it's kind
exactly.
of an unspoken language that we have. But if you know, you know.
That's right. Yeah. We got the distressed American flag upside down for sure.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. We've been in distress for 500 years. So
amen.
I get it.
Amen. I hear that. And to kind of tag onto that, I hope what we do at Post Pilgrim, I hope it enlightens non-Native people as to who we really are. Sometimes I call it the unicorn effect, that people expect certain things out of Indian people that they wouldn't expect out of, saying, meeting like a Japanese or, you know, a French person, where somehow we have magical powers. But the real power is that we love our families and we come from this earth and our belly buttons are attached to this land, and you couldn't tear us away from it if you tried. And to be able to explain that with love and pride and passion, oof, that's what we want to grow at Post Pilgrim. That is what we want to sow at Post Pilgrim.
That's beautiful. And we have one of our listeners, Santina, that is listening every day, and she said, bring Jay back on the show more often. And I vote yes, too.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Ho, you have to haul with us next time. Ho.
Ho.
Yeah.
There we go.
Hey, I got a quick question. We only got a couple minutes left.
Sure.
Haley, do you have one of those paintings put up again real quick? Yeah, the one on the left-hand side, I don't know if you can see it. It's a pretty big picture of, it looks like two women, and one's kind of, their eyes are looking different ways than their head. How long? And it's a big painting. How long did it take you to do something, a painting like that?
Oh, I'm super manic. So I'll work on a new idea on the same piece of canvas for like days. But then once I have that new idea figured out and I know it upside down, inside out, I'll knock out maybe two or three pieces in a week. I love painting. There is nothing that challenges me more. There's nothing that brings me more joy than figuring out how to become a better painter. And some of these intellectual painters, pish posh, you know, like, you'll never be, there's no such thing as becoming a better painter. Hell yeah, there is. I think there is. I love painting. And it's truly like reading a book. Like, once you read a book, you realize you have a million more books you need to read. That's what painting is like.
Well, Jay White, Jennifer White, we are just so happy to have you on. You're owner of Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And what a great person you are, and we'd love to have you on again.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love it.
Right on. And then you can tell us what kind of cigarettes. You can tell us what kind of cigarettes you smoke then next time. Oh, wow.
Virginia Super Slim, bro. That's anti-smoke for sure, bro.
That's right. That is. Hey, right on. Thank you, Jay White. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. We're still here. Yep. We are the seventh generation.
Oh.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenicoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio.